morning, I would like to talk about the Buddhist vow. Because most of Americans don't feel anything from practice of vow to the Buddhas. Why? Maybe we have some reason, but I have never asked anybody why you are against the practice of vow to the Buddha. Maybe it comes from your religious background, I don't know. Maybe you feel something, a kind of duty or obligation in front of the divinity or something. But a Buddhist practice is a Buddhist vow is not something obligated. It's not that obligated by anybody. Okay. But that practice of bowing is nothing but your own natural movement coming from your heart. When you really see who you are. When you really see what human life is, it's coming up. This is a Buddhist vow. there is a verse of the vow, so I translate it. Two kinds of verses, but I will read both of them. A short verse is the bower, B-O-W-E-R, bower and the bowing. Their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Interacting communion of appeal and response is beyond human speculation. This is a short one. Longer one is the bower and the bowing. Their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Oneself and another, their bodies are not separated. With all beings, we bow, V-O-W. We vow to attain liberation, arousing the body mind and returning to boundless truth. The bower and the bowing, their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Oneself and another, their bodies are not separated. With all beings, we vow to attain liberation, arousing the body mind and returning to boundless truth, to the boundless truth. You see some verse, some following, Buddhist following. Let me explain simply the short one. The bower and the bowing. Bower means you. Okay. You who are bowing to the Buddha. Okay. The bower is the Buddha. Okay. Object of your worship. So the bower and the bowing, their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Their nature, temporary. The subject and object seems to be separated. But their actually, strictly speaking, their natures means the basis of you, the basis of Buddha you are bowing to, are in emptiness, and tranquility means there is no gap, no partition between. No partition. The basis of you and Buddha, the basis of subject and objects, is anywhere going and coming without creating any partition between. That means they are completely. They entirely lie in the uncovering expanse of being, going and coming. But this is a completely tranquil. Tranquil means nothing to touch it, because that's nature. That nature is always going and coming. Beyond your speculation. Beyond your speculation. So, that's why the bower and the bowing, their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Tranquility. Interacting communion of appeal and response is beyond your speculation. Means interacting communion between you, subject, and object. Okay? Appeal means you. You try to appeal to your object. Okay? So to appeal and response means your object. So if you appeal to your object, object anyway respond you to you in many ways. For instance, if you see this table. If you appeal to this table as it really is, as a table, so-called table, you can table respond to you as a table. But if you appeal to this table as nothing but a board, okay, nothing but a board, so then naturally you pretty easily throw it away to fireplace. As a fire, okay? For the fire. So very naturally this table responds to you, not table, firewood. Okay, so that's why interacting communion of appeal and response is complete beyond your anyway speculation. So how can you communicate? How can you have deep, profound communion between subject and object, or you and Buddha? Bower and bowing. And also the other one, long one, is the bower and the bowing. Their natures are in emptiness and tranquility. Oneself and another, their bodies are not separate. Oneself means subject, and another means the object, the Buddha. You are bowing. So, subject and object, their bodies are not separate, but in terms of your speculation, they are separate. but actually they are not separate. With all beings, we vow to attain liberation. Liberation means not to hold on one idea. Not hold on one idea because everything is liberated. But according to your speculation, it's very easy for us to take hold on. That means clinging. But actually, everything is completely, absolutely liberated. So the more you try to cling to, the more you are confused. Whatever it is. Because this is the nature. This is original nature of being. So that's why it is called emptiness and tranquility. So with all sentient beings, we vow to attain liberation because already everything is liberated. So we should anyway realize, we should realize how everything is going and coming. Then by realization of this original nature, which is going and coming, in the true sense, then we can help yourself and others. So, with all sentient beings, anyway, not only you alone attain to liberation, freedom. Anyway, if you attain liberation, let's share it with all sentient beings. That's why we should anyway attain or practice or attain liberation with all sentient beings. In this case, you have to think yourself, but simultaneously in the process of thinking of you, you have to think all sentient beings interconnected. We have to think this way. But usually we don't. Okay? We always think of ourselves only. You don't care others. So you always, that's why you always cling to ourselves. But strictly speaking, we have to think, of course you should think of you, but simultaneously, in the process of thinking, you have to think of you in the realm of interdependence, interpenetration. In other words, you should think of you, okay, with, okay, in the interdependence, in interconnection, interpenetration, with all sentient beings, then you really can think of you. So that's why with all sentient beings, we vow to attain liberation, arousing the body-mind. Body-mind means the Buddha. Buddhas and the patriarch and ancestors, whoever they are, anyway, made every possible effort to transmit how sublime human beings are. So for this, they had practiced for many, many years. Going beyond, coming over human suffering, sharing their life with all sentient beings anyway, they had done for many, many years. And then finally, anyway, they transmit the how sublime human beings are. Okay. So if you look over the Buddhas and the parents and the ancestors and the patriarchs, they are not different from you. So you are also
Steinmeier's ancestors, patriots, Boers. So very naturally, consciously or unconsciously, you want to follow ancestors' way or patriots' way. Even though intellectually you don't like it, if you see real face of the existence, very naturally you want to follow, you want to do it, you want to attain same things as ancestor did. That is called body mind. Body mind. So this is your determination. Your determination. It comes into existence by your determination, but that determination is not human determination. This is Buddha's determination. Your human determination, they give rise to desire, to cling, unconsciously or consciously. Creating very narrow sense of understanding, sense of human world, human beings. So, body-mind comes into existence by your determination, but it's not the small self-determination, big self. Determination of the big self. That is called Buddha. Okay? So that determination of your big self is really great, because your determination usually can last for a certain period of time, 10 years, or 5 years, until you finish school anyway. Your determination can last, but maybe not everyone. Some of you drop off school, even though you had a very strong determination to finish school, but some of them anyway drop off. So this is a sense of determination of small self. It lasts for a certain period of time, but it doesn't last for long. Okay? But determination of the Buddha, it lasts for long anyway. For long. Life after life. So, that's why you yourself must be very strong, stable. So that is arousing the body mind. That is called the body mind. If you want to follow, if you want to attain the same things as patriarch ancestor did, it requires the determination of the Buddha. That is called body mind. That is called arousing body mind. The way-seeking mind, and returning to the boundless truth. This determination, this arousing body-mind, the way-seeking mind, very naturally guide you to return to home, which is peace, in peace, in harmony. That is boundless truth. Boundless truth means emptiness, uncovering expanse of being. Okay, that is a simple explanation. Yesterday, a staff writer of a Japanese newspaper. He came here in order to have an interview with one of the Zen Center students yesterday. So before that, we had a little spare time, so
I had the opportunity to talk with him.
So he asked me, what is the motivation that most all the students come to Zen Center to practice Buddha way, Buddhism? This is very difficult to say. What's motivation? For the various reasons of your own, that you have come to, you have started to practice Buddhism. So I couldn't explain each one of each reasons why you come here, you know. So I have, but it's very difficult. It was very difficult for me to say so. But I was always very often asked by this kind of person, reporters in newspaper, and sometimes Christian people, and university teachers. Always I was asked, but it's very difficult to say. But I have to say. So yesterday I said one point. And after that, I had to think of what I said again. So I tell you what I said, okay? I don't know if it is right or wrong. But I said, they profoundly feel themselves who are driven to the extraordinary and imminent situations and feel entirely aloneness on account of nothing to find out what to do. That's what I said. Is that correct? Or not? So, from this point, you are already great human beings because you realize already this one. Anyway, I have to say about this. I have to think of this again, once more again, so I have to tell you this one. They profoundly feel themselves who are driven to the extraordinary imminent situation. According to my term, I usually use the end of the rope. End of the rope. Do you remember? The end of the rope it means terminal station. But end of the rope is not the exact end of the rope. You shouldn't do anything. But end of the rope or terminal station is a terminal. But simultaneously, it's the beginning of being active, right? It's the end, but it's beginning. This is a real characteristic of, being driven to the imminent situation. Okay. Very imminent. Extraordinary, very imminent situation. So I say always the end of the rope. So if I use the end of the rope, you understand it as a confusion. But it's not confusion, okay? Because it is end, but it's not end, it's beginning. So if you see the kind of end of the rope in your life, and then you feel despair, but right in the middle of the desperation, you can't stop living. So something compels you constantly to live, regardless of completely beyond your speculation, like or dislike. Something compels you. Something means not coming from others, not coming from external world, not coming from inside of you. Anyway, basis of your existence is kind of something. In other words, that is a real reality which you are present in, complete beyond your speculation. So that is, so they profoundly feel themselves who are driven to the extraordinarily eminent situations. And then you feel entirely aloneness. Because while you are young, but not necessarily the 20s and 30s and 40s, while you are healthy, while you are in good health, it makes you very busy to support your life in order to make money, you know, to support yourself in terms of living, food, housing. So almost most of the people expend their every possible effort to do what? To find a better life. So they try to make every possible effort to live, to make money, and to find a nice house, and to eat the fine food, to wear the nice clothes. But when you become old, 70s, or 60s, even though you want to continue to work for a certain company, you have to retire. If you are retired, what are you doing? Nothing to do. And also, your children, your families completely separate from you. So you are completely alone. You are left alone, behind your all families. And also, you lose a job. Nothing. So at that time, what can you do? There all things are taken away by from you, your families, sometimes wives and husbands, and then your jobs, your status, and also physical health, and also mental health sometimes. So what's left? Nothing to do. But what's left? Only one is left. That is only you. You are completely, absolutely standing alone. That time, you really feel how impermanent, transient human world is. That is called impermanence. Well, that is called aloneness. So, the feel entirely aloneness on account of nothing to find out what to do. You feel the aloneness, but in the realm of aloneness, There is nothing to do. You don't know what to do. But on the other hand, you don't know what to do, but you have to do. Something compels you to do, to live, right in the middle of awareness. So you are constantly left alone. The more you try to, the more you try to contact with something outside, extraordinary world, the more you realize that you are alone. Because this is a total picture of basis of existence. In other words, that is called life, beyond idea of life you have thought. Okay? The real life is something that which makes your life alive. Okay? So life, this life is bigger scale of life. Okay? Sometimes you say universe, or universal energy, or universal consciousness, or truth and itself. So, life, what I mean is not biological life, okay? You can think. But this life is kind of a trans-individual life. Trans-individual life. One of the psychologists Italian psychologists use trans-self personal? Transpersonal. That's good term. Good term. Very good term. Transpersonal. Self. Means the self you think is a small self. But transpersonal self is big self. Transpersonal self is always going, always living, alive, completely beyond your speculation. Good or bad, right or wrong, under all circumstances, it's good. This is called transpersonal self. But I said the trans-individual life. Trans-individual life is, anyway, exactly the same as trans-personal self. So you are living by yourself, but you are not being lived. You are being lived by something. So, I say individual life beyond small self, okay? That is sometimes called mind in Buddhism. Sometimes it is called true heart. Technically, it is called Dhammakaya, the body of the Buddha, Buddha body. Let's see concretely what the trans-individual life is life, okay? But according to Buddhist teaching, it is a total picture of beings interconnected, interpenetrated, okay, without creating any partition between, among you and trees, birds, etc. That is the teaching of interdependent co-origination. Okay? So that's why I told you before, you have to think of you, but simultaneously in the process of thinking of you, you have to think mutual communication. Between you and others, between you and nature. Otherwise, you become completely isolated. So that's why Buddha teaches us, anyway, to see, to have eyes, to see real picture of existence, how it goes. So it goes on the basis of interdependence, interpenetrations with all sentient beings. That is, simply speaking, mutual communication, mutual connections, etc. Mutual penetrations. So very naturally, according to our daily life, we can see the mutual communications. Because if I sit here and talk, without you I cannot talk anyway. If there is nobody's, no one's, it's not necessary to say, to talk. What I can speak here is what you are present here. So my presence is really connected with your presence. So through your daily life, you can see how we are interconnected. But still, this is still some partitions, gaps between I and you, okay? I and you. So that the understanding of everything interdependent, interpenetrated, is still dualistic because you create still gap. I and students, I and trees. Okay? Means still we think of the yourself and the object in terms of operation of your brain. Operation of you. The usual word you can create is anyway nothing but the picture of your head. Okay? Your head anyway creates wonderful pictures. In this picture of the world you have created by your head, then we can promise to do something, to understand something. Okay? For instance, human. Idea of human. Idea of human is not real human which is alive with individual. Okay? This idea of human is very general. Okay? From generation to generation. So, you are human, I am human. Everyone is human. But this human idea of human comes from what? Your head. And then we say, from century after century, human beings have existed. Okay? But this human always exists. This human exists always. But it's cold. It's very cold. Because only through your ideas, through your head, we understand human. And also kind of a promise, you know, I like you, shaking hand. Or I don't like you. And then through the words, we create the word language through the head, okay? Through the language, we can find certain word which we can make promise. Okay? You are friend. I am friend.